Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. J.D. Walt here for another Wake Up Call podcast conversation. And I'm thrilled today. We've got Randy Simpkins with us here. You're not even going to believe the story that you're about to hear. And, you know, quickly, I met his good friend, Troy, who starts... Troy was a wake-up call reader, and he just began to have a vision of how the wake-up call could connect with this End the Wait campaign. Randy is the founder of End the Wait, and they're trying to help everybody who needs a kidney transplant to get one in time. I'm just going to stop right there. I'm going to ask Randy, first off, tell us about him. And then tell us this story. Buckle up, guys, okay? Maybe if you're in a car, you should pull over.
JD, it's a pleasure to be on your podcast and to speak to your audience and share our story and our vision. I'm just a local pastor and a ditch digger. And I'm a father of three and a husband to a wonderful wife. And found my calling into the ministry late in life. I've been a pastor about 10 years. I was a bit of a workaholic father and husband earlier on in my life until I realized if I believe this Jesus stuff is real, why am I spending my life investing in the last few years of my life instead of forever? And so I've been in the ministry, a pastor for 10 years, and this all began about, well, only 3.5 years ago. I was a head spiritual director on a women's walk called Walk to Emmaus. And I'd probably done about 24 of those. It's a 3-day retreat. It's called a fourth day movement. It's a wonderful Holy Spirit filled experience. And I wasn't supposed to be on the retreat. I was appointed as the Appalachian Trail chaplain in 22. And so I was hiking the Appalachian Trail and just ministering to people on social media and hikers along the way. And started off early, started January 1st of that year. But a series of events, a blizzard followed by jury duty, followed by things changing at work and at church, brought me off trail. And so I was kind of struggling with that. Lord, why did you open this door of ministry and now it's closed? But I found myself at the retreat, and 5 o'clock in the morning, the first morning of the retreat, I was in the kitchen. I always start my day off early, especially on a women's retreat. I want to get my coffee and get in the conference room before anybody gets up. But this particular morning, I heard voices on the other side, the kitchen sort of U-shaped, and I heard voices on the other side. I didn't know they were there. They didn't know I was there. And I heard a lady say, she was talking to her mother and to her daughter, and she said, "We've got to pray we can find somebody that's O positive, that's willing to give up a body part. But how do you ask somebody for a body part?" And I just froze. And the Holy Spirit laid it on me as heavy as he could. "This is why I brought you home." And I stepped around the corner, startled her a little bit, and told her, "I'm O positive." Well, that's when the crisis of chronic kidney disease came to my attention. I had no idea that 38 million Americans have chronic kidney disease, 1 out of 7 worldwide. And there's about 800,000 people on dialysis, about 100,000 on the transplant wait list, and the average wait is about 7 to 8 years once you're on the list. Well, her husband had, about a year before I overheard her, had a heart issue. He coded 3 times over a weekend, and he found out that he had end-stage kidney failure, and they gave him a couple of years to live. So by the time I overheard her, he had about a year to live, and he had just been put on the list. So if he didn't find a donor, he was not going to make it. To make it more difficult, we had both had blood transfusions, and that sort of randomizes things. And so they told us, the hospital said, "There's no way you can match, but you can do this thing called a paired exchange, where you can put him down as the potential recipient. He goes to the top of the list, and your kidney will go to someone else." And so I said, "Great, that'll save 2 lives. A few months later, I had to lose about 20 pounds before they would let me donate. And so I worked on that. And I guess 3 months later, I went in for a full day of testing. And a few days later, the hospital called and they said, we can't explain this. It's a true miracle, but it's as if you've had his kidney in your body the last 54 years. Everything matched up. Different race, Both of us had blood transfusions. So I met Russell about a week before the surgery. The surgery went great. I spent one night in, well, two nights in the hospital, and both of us were home right away. And 7 days after the surgery, I went back to the gym. They literally took the kidney out through my belly button. I don't even have a noticeable scar. And then within 6 weeks, I felt like I do right now. And I had an opportunity to share my testimony because, number one, I wasn't even supposed to be at the retreat. And number two, I was probably the only person in the planet that would match Russell as well as we matched. So there were so many God things that happened. So I was asked to share my testimony with a group of men at a prayer breakfast on a Saturday morning. And I shared, and I guess I was pretty passionate about it. And at the end, there was a question and answer session. And one of the men asked me, he said, you know, you seem so emotional and passionate about this. Would you do it again? And I don't know why I answered it the way I did, but I've heard the same sentiment from every person that's been a donor. I said, if I had 200 kidneys in my body, I'd do it 199 more times starting tomorrow, because it changes you when you're the vessel through which God gives someone life. The only thing I can relate it to is the feeling that you get when somebody comes down the aisle and accepts the Lord into their heart. And you get to be a part of that. It was a very spiritual experience for me, because I had this thing that I knew nothing about and people aren't aware of it. And once I found out how relatively easy the process is and how massive the need is, I just had a passion to tell everybody, sort of like sharing the gospel. After that prayer breakfast, these two men came up to me and they said, I had no idea, how do I donate a kidney? A couple of weeks later, I spoke at a Kiwanis Civic Club meeting. The same thing happened. A lady came and asked me, the exact same thing. And she said, how can I donate a kidney? And so that's when I got to thinking, I know there's 100,000 people that would do this, but how do you get the word out in a way that's inspirational, that brings people to action? And that's when it hit me. My 2-year-old son disappeared 25 years ago, and he was missing for about 8 hours. And the whole town, my whole town came out and looked for him. Helicopters, ATVs, dogs. And as I said, I was a workaholic dad until that day. And I found myself on my knees asking God for another chance to be a better husband and a better father and a better child of the King. And all of my priorities changed that day. And then we found him a mile and a half away in the swamp, and he was okay. But all of my priorities shifted. And then 8 years later, some filmmakers were in our town doing a movie. I was county commissioner, so I helped them find some different locations for their movie. And they said, you don't seem like a politician. And I said, thank you. And they said, how'd you get involved in politics? And I told them that story and how I could never repay my community and how my life had been changed and my priorities. And about a year after that, they approached me about doing a movie about my son's disappearance. We were kind of opposed to it at first because we really didn't want our business out there for everybody to see how bad of a father I was. But then we realized God was the architect of that event, and that truly was a means of grace. And who are we not to share his handiwork if it can help other people? So they did make a movie about it. It was released by Lionsgate in 2010, and it was called The Way Home. It's still on Amazon Prime and YouTube and all these other outlets today, 15 years later. People always are reaching out to us, and it's been seen by tens of millions of people. So I thought, what if we opened a nonprofit organization, made a much bigger movie, put it in theaters across the country, took the proceeds from the movie, put it back into the nonprofit, got it in front of 100 million people. All we would need is 1 out of 1,000 to say, I can do what that guy did, and we would end the wait. And that was about 2 years ago when that all came together. And I reached out to Dean Cain. He played me in the first movie, and I shared my vision with him. His response after we talked for a couple of days was, no one's ever done anything like this before. No one's ever made a movie whose sole purpose is to save lives. And I'm all in. So he and Lori Beth, that played my wife, they played both of us again. Dean directed the movie. It's in post-production. We had investors that came forward and said, yeah, I'm all about this. And JD, I was coming back from an event in Asheville with you guys, a pastor's retreat, maybe 3 months ago. And on the way back, one of my church members called me and he said, one of my high school classmates needs a kidney. And I thought about you and what you did. I'll just be glad to tell you that May 28th, he became our 17th kidney transplant, and we haven't even got the movie out yet, just from word of mouth. And it's opened so many doors of blessing. 17 transplants without even trying yet, just trying to help. That's it.
That's amazing. End the wait.
Yeah.
And so this movie star is going to play you, and the other one's going to play your wife in the second. It's like this is the sequel movie. You've got two movies that have been made about your life.
Yeah,
that's apparently fairly remarkable.
Well, apparently I didn't learn the lesson that God was teaching me the first time around, so we had to give it another shot.
Or it's another lesson altogether.
It is.
It's really extraordinary. And so 17 kidneys just getting warmed up. And now we're getting ready to tell us, when's the movie coming out?
Well, the movie will be released later this year. Our expectation is that it's going to be released nationwide in theaters. And Dean's having conversations with multiple distributors right now that he already has connections with. And, what was amazing is he was able to bring in so many well-known celebrities to play in this movie for the cause. And because of the message and what it's about. And so it's an amazing cast. They did an incredible job. But there's been so many unexpected things that have happened. We got to thinking, well, we're going to have all these people that are interested in donating a kidney. What do we do with that? We don't want them just to be aware and that's it. So how do we maximize the impact? And so God opened doors for us to be connected through a kidney allocation nonprofit called the Alliance for Paired Kidney Donation. And they are connected with 80 of the best transplant centers across the country, Northwestern. I could go on and on, but all of the best. And as a result of that, people can go on our website, see the movie, go to endthewait.net, and there's a drop down that says, I'm interested in knowing more about being a donor. And it immediately will link them to APKD and their intake team, and they walk them through the process. It doesn't cost anything to be a donor. Basically you can back out at any time if you change your mind or if you decide this isn't for me. Just to learn about the process. And so through connecting with them, it allows us to establish kidney chains, save maximum number of lives. So we're very excited. And then we got to thinking, what about when people are finished with the transplants, or what about the people that are in need? I learned so much about Russell, the gentleman that I donated a kidney, my brother for life now, how hopeless you feel being in having to rely on dialysis just to live. And having to rely on somebody that you probably don't even know to be able to live. And so we came up with the idea of, what if we establish chapters? You know, as a pastor, I know it's the responsibility of us, the church, to not just hear about the word, but be doers of the word, and to go out and minister to the community. And there's sort of a stigma attached, unjustifiably so, with people that have kidney disease. So many have it for genetic reasons. So people don't talk about it a lot. But what if we open doors of churches and civic clubs all over the world for people to connect with the people in their community that have chronic kidney disease, that need to be prayed over, that need to be loved, that need to get a ride to a doctor's appointment, or have a meal brought to them, just to have community, to have a place where other people that are dealing with the same thing can come and gather together and learn and hear from each other. And we've been doing that in my church, not even calling it a chapter, but we've had people from the neighboring state to come to our church because they've heard about In the Wait and they need a kidney. And we would pray over them, and we would help try to raise awareness for them. And so it's a way that we as a body of Christ can minister to this whole community of people that need to be loved on. Widows, orphans are not just widows and orphans. And so, and it's also an expandable model. So that's why we've started establishing and recruiting people that are interested in just loving people that need to be loved through these chapters.
Wow. Well, so let's back up just with me a second. How many people are on the list waiting?
Well, it's a moving list, and this is the part that's probably going to blow your mind, but there's not a list. There's over 200 transplant centers. They all have their own lists. And there is UNOS that's aware of all of the lists at the federal level, but it's up to the individuals to find donors, and it's up to the transplant centers. There's other organizations like APKD that try to find donors. Nobody does what we're doing, however. And so there's about 100,000 people on average at any given time that are on the kidney transplant wait list. About 86% of the organs that are needed are kidneys, and kidneys are the easiest to be able to find a donor for if people were aware.
And so why don't you think there are more people donating kidneys?
I don't think people realize it. Well, it's a different procedure than it used to be. They used to cut you open like a ripe watermelon in July. But now, like I said, you know, it's either laparoscopic, or in my case, they cut a little incision right at my belly button, put a little gel ring in there, did everything from that one place, and it all healed right back up very quickly. And so it's a lot less intrusive. It's a lot quicker recovery time. I don't want to paint that it's not a surgery. It is a major surgery. But the recovery time it's not near as intrusive as something like a liver, and the recovery time is much faster. They won't let you donate unless you're 100% healthy and qualified to donate. It's an extremely high recovery rate, and living donors, the kidneys last almost twice as long on average than a deceased donor. So I just don't think people are aware.
Yeah. And I think people also, I guess people aren't aware that they can donate and that somebody, they will find a recipient. Like if I don't know somebody, it's kind of like, I don't know anybody personally. How would I even think to do this?
Well, that's why there needs to be awareness for people to know that there are, these are not statistics. Yeah. So that's what we're going to be able to do.
And you, this happened to you. You were doing something completely different. You overheard a conversation that the Lord obviously wanted you to hear. And that led you into this whole process of like, I'm O positive. I can, why not me? Randy, often I have these, what I call the three great questions of great awakening, and they are these: if not me, then who? If not here, then where? If not now, then when?
I may have heard you say that before.
And you answer those questions like me, here, now. And that's courageous, and I just want to affirm that and bless the Lord for that kind of faith and love. And I want to ask you, how are you doing with one kidney?
The funny thing is they said it would take a few months before your creatinine level was back into the normal range. Mine was just a few weeks. I went for my checkup. I just do a regular annual checkup like everybody that's in their 50s is supposed to do. And they check my creatinine level, and it's right smack dab in the middle, right where it's supposed to be. The only negative impact that I've had at all is I can't take NSAIDs just to protect the one kidney I have. So I take Tylenol instead of ibuprofen if I have a headache. And that's a very small sacrifice for somebody's life to be saved. But can I come back to one thing you said real quick? Cause I want to make it clear. There have been so many times in my life that I've been disobedient, more times than not. When God's called me to do something, I've pushed back or I've ignored, but this one time I said yes. And we never know the ripple effects of dropping that one small rock in the pond and saying yes, I'm being obedient and trusting God instead of our own understanding. So there's nothing special about me. I've said no way more times than I've said yes, but he has blessed me tremendously by seeing what can happen when we say yes.
Well, so Randy, I tell you something that's happening right now as we're having this conversation. There are people who are listening who are saying, me, here, now. What do they do?
Well, it's
what's
very
their next
simple
step?
The step is go to endtheweight.net. That's endtheweight.net. There's a dashboard on there that says, I'm interested in being a donor. You click that button, it starts the process. Also, our email's on there. Call me or email me anytime. I'll talk to anybody personally and share my experience. But there's also another drop down on there or on that same dashboard that says, I'm interested in being a chapter coordinator. Click that button. We start the process. We vet everyone. We talk through everything. We have resource guides, leadership guides, videos. We explain exactly what this looks like and the ministry that it is. Or somebody may put on there, I just want to be a volunteer. And that's great too. Also, there's a drop down that says, hey, I need a daily devotional, and we will connect them to you guys. And we
tell that story about how, I mean, I guess I'll tell a little bit of it. So Troy is a wake up call listener, and Randy is too. But Troy began to think, you know, these people who are A, in need of a kidney, and then there'll be people who want to donate kidneys. What if we could, in a very fitting, loving, not forceful way, invite them into a faith walk, right?
That's exactly right.
And he said, what if we could introduce them to the wake up call? And I'm like, you had me from wake up call, Troy. So you all are working to create a linkage between In the Weight and the wake up call.
That's right.
Which I appreciate.
Well, I've been to your conference and I know what you guys are all about. We're about the same thing. We're about shedding the light of Jesus around the world. And I'll be honest with you, there's such a spiritual thing about donating the kidney. This is truly a way for us to introduce Jesus to the world. We're just using a physical manifestation for people to be exposed to the love of Christ. Jesus used physical means through healing, through raising of the dead, through, you know, all of the different things he did. He used physical means for people to see who he is and what he's capable of. So 100,000 kidneys is not worth one soul. But the impact of allowing God to work through you to give someone else life, the impact on your vessel is so tremendous and so humbling. I'm sure you've been involved with foot washings. Foot washing is the best way I can describe donating a kidney, because whether you're the one washing the foot or the one having your foot washed, it is the most spiritual, humbling experience, because you feel so unworthy in both places. And that's what it's like to donate a kidney or to be able to support something like this and to see the response from their family. I was with the family that of my church member just a couple of weeks ago in the emergency room, and the mom of the recipient, when she got the phone call, turned, and I was sitting right there next to him. She turned to the wife of the donor and she said, I have no words. I can't say anything to thank you enough. You have given life to my son. And they both just started, all of us just started crying. It is a God movement.
Yeah, Jesus, you know, he said, he said, love, I give you one command, basically, love one another as I have loved you. And of course, the way he loved us was he gave himself to us and for us. Now he wants to give himself through us. But then he said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down their life for their friend. It's like, and that's donating a kidney. It's a expression of laying down your life in a very tangible way, isn't it?
It is.
And
it is.
That witnesses to God's reality. When somebody loves like that, it's like a burning bush catches on fire.
And the beautiful thing about it is it's contagious. When other people see the joy that people receive from it, it makes them like, I want some of that. And to close the loop on the story about my 2-year-old son, what's today, Monday? Thursday of last week, my 2-year-old son, who is now 28, who has had his own journey in valleys and mountaintops, he came up to me and he said, Daddy, I want to donate a kidney and I don't care who it goes to.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
You talk about being a proud papa.
Maybe we can get that in the movie.
Well, it's too late for that. that ship is sailed.
You know what we could get, though? Maybe we could get one of those scenes at the end that comes on post-credits.
There you go. It is in the book,
though.
That
would be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, so tell us about, what's the book? You haven't said anything about a book.
No, well, that's because I just finished it Friday. The day after my son, I added a new section when my son reached out to me Thursday. But Dean, when we were talking about this, he told me, you know, the movie's about the transplant, and it shows about the need. It shows the path, both my path and Russell's path, and how we came together. It shows everything that it needs to. And at the end, it's sort of a call to action. But he told me, he said, Randy, the most amazing God thing is how this vision turned into the realities that people can't just raise millions of dollars to make an independent film. And God put these people, you know, these investors that did it for so much less money, the filmmakers that did it for so much less money because of the mission. And now the connection with the medical community, the connection with the federal government, it saves about $1 million for every person, for the federal taxpayer, for every person that we were able to get off of dialysis. So this movement's going to save billions of dollars. So all of these things, he said, this doesn't just come together. He said, you should write a book that covers how God has worked every step of the way, including our connection with Seedbed and with Wake Up. You know, that it's just so many God things that have happened. Troy was inspired to put us together, and the Lord laid that on his heart, and now we're talking. And so so we just completed a memoir that has all of the different components of God movements throughout this. And, of course, I added 4 more pages when my son reached out to me on Thursday.
That's amazing. So do you got a publisher? Do you have a publisher yet?
Well, not yet. We're having some discussions. If you know a good one, let me know. But I'd love to send the memoir to you.
Today, come on.
Okay.
We are also connected to HarperCollins, and we've got some good connects there. But we want, obviously, always, we want a book to reach its widest possible audience. And this is very inspiring. And so basically what I'm hearing from you is that there are 3 or 4, or at least 2, maybe there's 4 CTAs here that I just want to get clear about. Number one is pray about donating a kidney. You don't have to know somebody who needs one. There are 100,000 people who need one right now. And the average wait time is like 8 years. And most of those people will not live that long.
Correct.
Am I right on that one?
You're correct.
So the first invitation is to pray about donating a kidney. The second is to consider organizing a chapter of End the Wait in your community. And that's just a simple way of beginning to help awareness grow right where you live. And what'll wind up happening is you'll get connected to people right in your area you didn't even know needed a kidney. And it'll get real personal at that point. And people will wind up saying, well, I want to give a kidney to right here. And that'll start that process. So you can start a chapter. Now, on both of those counts, you go to endtheweight.net, and you can get hooked into it from there. That'll start a process. And of course, listen, just going there and starting the process is not committing you to an outcome. It's an exploration. This is a journey of faith, and this is the step. You got to take step one before you can take step 10. And so we're just encouraging you to explore it, especially if you're sensing Jesus whispering to you right now. And you're just kind of leaning into it. Just explore it. That's what faith is. You know how we spell faith, Randy? R-I-S-K. Just take that. Just say that first. Yes. Because that's what faith is, too. It is a series, a long series of yeses. And none of them are big in and of themselves, but all of them are massive together.
Yeah.
So that's right. We want you to do that. Now, number three, we want you to go to this movie and tell your friends about it. We want all of your friends to know about this movie. What is the movie going to be called?
Well, it's a very original title. It's called End the Wait.
You guys are brilliant. End the Wait. That's the name of the movie. Okay?
Yep.
It's going to be on Amazon Prime. It's going to be in theaters. And we want you to go to it and share it. And then the third thing, we want you to pray for Randy to find the right publisher for the book, because we want this book. You know what? How we look at publishing, Randy, in our work, it comes from Habakkuk, who said, write down the vision on tablets so that a runner can run with it. That's what a book is. It's a vision on a tablet that a runner can run with and spread it. So we want you to get that book and get interested in that. And then there's five. There's number five. We're going to push number five around the number one, though, okay? That's spelled P-R-A-Y.
Amen.
Just say, yes, Lord. Say, Lord, your kingdom come. And as a sign of that, let 100,000 kidneys get to the people who need them. It's unbelievable. It's big, but it's small, and its outcome is massive. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And just in the wait, this movement, Lord, would you cause for it to flourish and bear fruit that will last?
Amen.
That's our prayer right there.
That's it.
Well, Randy, and you're still pastoring.
Oh, yeah. Preach every Sunday. That's my number one calling right there.
My gosh, you got a lot going on, and I'm proud of you, and we're proud of you, and we want to be on the team.
Oh, it's a great team. No, Team Jesus, right? We're all part of the same kingdom. We all have the same goal.
That's right. That's so good. Well, everybody, I just prayed the prayer, and you said amen, and now we're going to move into the answer to that prayer. I'd encourage you to share this podcast conversation with others. This, you know, we got the internet, and we got all these technological things, but when it comes down to it, it's Jesus from a person to a person, through a person, to a person. It's always one at a time. And I always like to say, Randy, that the kingdom of God will not scale. It'll multiply, but it won't scale. And it requires us to move and to just go to a person and the next person and the one after that. So that's what we're going to do.
Yes, sir.
Any closing words you got before we?
I'm just thankful. I'm so humbled to be able to have a front row seat to the Lord's movement through this and not just through In the Wait, but the movement that He's doing all over right now. I just sense there's such a great revival that we're right on the cusp of experiencing. And, you know, we just, like you said, it's one relationship at a time, one person at a time. That's what makes the difference. And so I'm just thankful to have an opportunity to share with your audience, which is also my audience. You know, it's we're brothers and sisters together.
Yep. This is our community, isn't it? It's not even our audience. It's our community.
That's right.
It's our
Better
people.
Said.
It's our people.
That's right.
Because we're in trouble if they're our audience.
You said it much better. That's right.
Well, listen, everybody, thank you for joining us. Thank you, Randy Simpkins, endthewait.net. And I have a feeling that there's going to be more than one update on this conversation. So for now, I'm JD Walt for the Wake Up Call. We'll see you on the field.